Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Redmen TV. Liverpool are back in action. Yes! Yes, it's been, you know what, I'll be honest, it's been pleasant to just ease off for a couple of weeks. And then I'm just fully buzzing and excited for the Mighty Reds to be back. Look at Chris's smiling
really
face.
Good,
yeah.
I like Premier League football.
It's great, isn't it? It helps when Liverpool been in a good vein of form. Anyway, to discuss it, we are joined this week. We've got Andy Kelly from the Liverpool Echo and Mr. Stephen Hoare as well. Who you good, Steve? Comfortable?
All well.
Excellent.
We had a few pre-show issues, but we're fine now.
We?
I had a few.
Me, myself,
yeah,
and
I wasn't feeling up to myself, but I'm fine now.
Yeah.
Your enthusiasm has rubbed off on me.
Good. That's the idea. How's your happiness, Andy?
Well, you know what? I can see the end of the tunnel. It's a long time, those 2 weeks with no football in it.
Yeah.
And there's been little peaks and troughs, but we can see the light, can't we?
Absolutely.
It's 3 o'clock Saturday.
I can't wait. So speaking of things to be optimistic about and happy about and what have you, I just want to do a little thank you first and foremost to everyone who voted for us in the North West Football Awards. We were, as you can see, thanks to our wonderful shiny award there, did you put that there?
No.
Tom, did you put that? Tom put that. Pride of Pride. I was concerned it was going to obscure the telly because it's massive. But you know what? Who cares? I think it looks wonderful. So thank you very much to everyone who voted for us. It was a public vote. You guys made it happen. If you did vote for us, let us know in the comments. We'll try and give you some love. But great, recovered.
90% recovered.
90% back to full power.
Tomorrow, I think I'll be fine.
2 day hangover.
It's fasting in your mid-30s.
Anyway, we'll crack on. Look, Chris, quite simply put, this is where the real season begins. You know, we've had this. You have the initial optimism,
yeah,
where it's just you're just flying and you bang into it, and then.
Well, my favourite part of the season is just before the season kicks off when I think we're going to win the league.
Yeah,
and there's all hope springing eternal all around there, and you're thinking to yourself, this Liverpool side can go on and win the league. A few games in, you're like, can we though?
Yeah.
But you know what? We've turned it round. You know, towards the back end of the last sort of set of fixtures and stuff, and going into this one, Southampton haven't been performing great so far this season. There's question marks over Pellegrino and the style of football that he's playing. So for me now, Klopp seems to have found that sort of plan B over the last few games that he's been heavily criticised for not having while he's been at Liverpool. So I'm excited to see this side develop during this portion of the season, and getting players back as well over the next couple of weeks makes it a really exciting time to be a Liverpool fan.
That's it. And like I say, what I'm kind of driving at, Andy, is that we're now entering the period from hell. You know, this period of games where they just start coming thick and fast. You sort the men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff. Chris is dead right. It was the perfect time for us to get our act together. But now we've got to prove that that wasn't a fluke or a freak set of results. We've got to take it into this run of games now.
Yeah, and thank you to me, Echo colleague Christian Walsh, who actually counted them up for me yesterday, because it was it's 13 games in 43 days, I think, for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a... You know, it doesn't take a genius worker. That's a game every 3 or 4 days. And there is no midweek free now till God knows when, sometime in January.
Bollocks.
So, you know, tell everyone they can see you in about the second week of January because you're going to be busy.
Yeah, and then the FA Cup, we'll have the FA Cup draw and then it'll be mad in January as well.
Yeah. But yeah. And, I mean, you're right. They have to build those 3 games, 3 good wins, sort of, got the recovery done after Spurs, didn't it? And now it's about building on to where, you know, we're just on the cusp of that top 4. Need to go on, secure Champions League football for the new year and sort of get ourselves into that top four, really.
Absolutely. And Tom and I did we called it the monthly roundup kind of thing, but it was really from Man United to the other week to West Ham. And we are, in some regards, slightly further away, even though we performed better. You know, we seem to have turned the corner. We're a little bit further away from where we wanted to be by comparison to how we started that spell, Steve. But the point is, we are in touching distance. We are there or thereabouts. We are primed, not for the title, but for the challenge that Liverpool need to be in, and that's the challenge for, you know, second, third, and fourth, effectively. And, you know, it begins with Southampton. And my God, Southampton, we very much owe them a beating.
It's been difficult against them, hasn't it? It's been plenty.
Have we scored in the last four?
It's been plenty of 0-0s at home, hasn't it, and stuff. Last year was very, very turgid. Obviously, Milner missed the pen and stuff. But they're a bit of a different team this year. They are quite good defensively, not as good as they have been, I don't think. And they're really struggling for goals. That's been their issue all season. They are really, really struggling. So I think Liverpool can afford to be a little bit more expansive than they maybe have been recently. But I mean that in terms of personnel selection, which we'll get onto later. But I think the style, I think Chris is right in that it isn't so much a plan B, it's like a plan A and a half, in that everything's kind of the same except only one fullback goes. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main difference.
It's a modification.
It's basically Joe Gomez is often sitting behind, you know, sitting deeper, and not, he doesn't really have to go every time. He doesn't need to, because, you know, Mo Salah's in front of him doing that for him. But conversely, if he does go, you don't, Moreno isn't constantly bombing on as well. And it's kind of like he's Klopp's... I don't think it's what he wants, but I think he's kind of accepted that, you know what, maybe we do have to do this, just because personnel-wise, we're getting carved open too often. And, you know, there's no cover if you know, one of our centre-halves make a mistake, which they, you know, which they do.
Do we think Southampton are going to park the bus? Yeah. I mean, we say park the bus. by that, I mean play more defensively. They're going to try and... They're going to play for the...
Yeah, one of the things that they've struggled with is they haven't had that striker at the top end of the pitch after this season. And, you know, we saw with, who's the Italian guy that used to have a couple of years
Pella.
Ago? Pella. You know, they had an outlet there, and they don't seem to have that outlet there this season.
No, it's a combination of Gabby Adini, Long, a bit of Charlie Austin, and all three of them are... I mean, Gabby Adini's a good player. I think the other two are hit and miss.
But we saw Shane Long for Ireland the other day. It's not clicking for him at the moment.
They're just really struggling at that end of the pitch. They lack a bit of creativity as well. You know, Tadic is hit and miss. That's what they are. They're one of those teams where you look at them and go, they're a bit like West Ham last week, where if everything goes right for them, they can cause you issues, but they haven't got it right all season. So we need to make sure they don't do it again here. I think that's the
Redmond caused us a few problems last year, didn't he? I think he's fit, is he?
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's a hell of a question. If only there was a way to find out.
Yeah, but, you know, we haven't heard the manager's press conferences yet, but, you know, he's someone who, if they are going to come and sit solid, Paul, you know, he's one of the ones you'd expect to be a threat on the break. And he's someone I never quite think he delivers quite as much as he promises to, but he's a good player, isn't he? I think, and has caused us some issues in the past.
Well, he's very much the next in line for the Liverpool transfer, really, isn't he? If he has a good season, he'd be the next one on the list. After, of course, the man Virgil. It's interesting. So I actually went on the Southampton website. I put together like a stat pack for this, and it made really, really horrendous reading because it was very much geared towards, here's how Southampton get something out of this. That Jürgen hasn't beaten them in four in the league. In fact, the last time we beat them was the 6-1 in the League Cup. Random one dish was one easy question. Who was their one goal scorer?
Mane.
Sadio Mane. Who played in goal for Liverpool that night?
Would it have been Ward?
No. Nope.
Manninger or Carrier?
No. No, oh. Adam Bogdan.
Wow,
played in goal in one of Liverpool's biggest wins in the league in league of history.
Wow.
There you go.
We played the Christmas tree that night. That was the formation. I was looking at some formation stuff a couple of weeks ago, and that was actually the Christmas tree we played.
Is that Rigi get a hat trick or something?
Rigi got his hat trick. Yeah,
absolutely fantastic. I was hosting YouTube's Christmas quiz and missed that all that game. Devastated, absolutely devastated. So yeah, random, just a proper random game. So we know they're 13th in the table, 13 points from 11 games, as you say, struggle for goals a little bit. The good thing for us, Andy, we're having a very brief chat about this prior to filming. This is maybe as close as Liverpool have been this season to being fully fit. I mean, we know Klein's got it's going to be at least another 3 months before we see anything of him. But, you know, obviously there's one or two doubts at the moment still, Sadio Mane. But, you know, Lallana could well be back in contention as well. Henderson could be back in. Phil's Coutinho back as well. Weirdly, getting fit again for Brazil. Fantastic. Yeah. You know, the only man who gets fitted on international breaks, which is great.
At least he didn't have to travel back from Brazil this time.
And he hasn't had to travel, so it's not the plane, Steve, so you were wrong about that all along.
Yeah, they were on the West Coast line earlier, didn't they? Firmino and Coutinho on the Rattler. Having a snooze, from what I could see from Instagram.
But this, again, this couldn't be timed any better. No. You know, okay, it could have been. The start of the season would have been lovely, to be fair. But again, we're coming into this period of games now, and the fact that, particularly Adam Lallana, he's going to be chomping at the bit to get back on the pitch.
Yeah, he is, and I'm told he's absolutely flying. And I mean, was ready for a double session yesterday in training. He's back in full team training. You know, Jurgen's MO tends not to be to throw them straight back into a start.
It wasn't until everyone
was like, what, you know, Mane starts. But
Sadio Mane started that, like when they throw in a random participant into the Royal Rumble and everyone goes, wow!
These are references beyond me, but I know you're talking about men in lycra pants, aren't you?
I was referring to the Bushwhackers, to be fair. Oh, that sounds worse, doesn't it?
So you've got Lallana. We've got, hopefully, Coutinho did, 67 minutes, I think, he played at Wembley last night. Didn't look to be moving too bad to me. He did that thing where he sort of strolls around quite a bit, like, which seems to be exacerbated when you put a Brazil shirt on. It almost like becomes part of your makeup. But there was a couple of times where he went full on sprint, especially when Neymar played that nice ball through to him. He sprinted in off the right hand side. Neymar delayed it, put it through, and didn't look to be any reaction to me. So he's got to be, you'd think, reporting back at AF1 today. So hopefully he'll report back fine. Who else have we got? Henderson obviously couldn't play for England. As a precaution, really, he, I think, you know, missed a couple of sessions, but he's back training, and you'd think should be in contention.
Anything on Mane then? Because there's been conflicting reports, and I say conflicting reports, I mean conflicting clickbait headlines from a variety of sources that have had it.
Certainly
from,
not from the Liverpool Echo.
Of course not. Not that I would possibly cast that aspersion at all. No, you've seen it from. To be honest, even like Sky Sports were doing it very much like, you know, Liverpool's dismay and this kind of stuff. Yeah. Or, you know, this kind of thing. Oh, he's out. He's injured.
Yeah.
We also heard it was just a precautionary thing.
I mean, my thought on it initially was it can't be too bad given that Liverpool had Scott McAuley over there with him, physio who travelled with him. And, you know, if it was a bad one, he would instantly have been able to, you don't need a scan to tell it's you need a scan to tell the full extent, but if it's a bad one, he would have told them. And from what I understand, there's still every hope that he can make it for Saturday. He's not going to be in team training today. I'm told he's not expected tomorrow. But a decision will be made on Friday. And if he does team training on Friday, as we know, Jurgen likes to see them in training, and then he'll be in contention for some sort of role. Now, normally, as you say, up to West Ham, we'd say, well, he's got a chance for the bench. But post-West Ham, you know, we're in a bright new world of who knows what could happen. Yeah. So I suspect he might make the bench because I think the way, well, we'll do our teams in a bit, but the way the team... Not convinced that they necessarily need to risk him.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, isn't it? And we'll, as Andy says, we'll do our teams in a minute, Chris. But it's dead right. It would be nice time, and to some extent, you know, that we don't need it. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain there, of course. Obviously, Salah. If Coutinho's fit and available,
this
if Lallana's available,
the best point of the season for this squad, doesn't it? Let's be honest. I think, you know, with everyone bar Nathaniel Klein fit or very near to fitness, this is the exact time we needed them. You know, we saw last season we played a load of games in November and December and struggled in January. We're almost we're in a better position in that, all right, our form hasn't been as good as the start of last season, but we're getting our players back for that busy run. Did you say 13 games in 43
days? Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to need these players and we're going to have games to get them fit and rotate. Because that's the other thing. It's not just about maybe bringing Sadio Mane in. He's not in for 10 games, two games a week, but we've got the entire squad that we can fall back on. You know, he might play midweek, he might not play weekend. So we're having all these players available at this time is absolutely key for us.
So we move on to your preferred 11s. Gents, let's see what you have all got going right now. What have you done to your board? Why does it look like it's been...
It's fine.
You've been carrying it around.
It's been thin to the...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I don't know why that is. Mane divided by Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah. Why does it look like you've had to smuggle it in or out of a prison?
Listen, mate, I was just provided the board. Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
I didn't create the board.
Sound. Okay, so yeah, you've sat on the fence there.
No, I haven't. That is, if Mane's fit, he plays.
Yeah.
If he's not,
Oxlade-Chamberlain. This is a preferred.
Well, it's Mane. I'll do that then.
That's all I'm looking for.
I would prefer Mane's legs to be working at 100%. But absolutely. If they're not, then I'd go Oxlade-Chamberlain. That would do any difference. But yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. Andy's gone for. You've got Milner in there. I was very tempted to put Milner in there, if I'm honest.
Thinking on that is, he's had, you know, they had a full week off. He's not had to do any international duties. He should be absolutely rested and raring to go.
He didn't even have to go to the Northwest Football Awards. He did it by a video link.
he picked up some inspiration award, did he, or something like that, yeah, for his charitable work.
For his charitable
work. So good on him for his foundation and all that. But yeah, I think given that there might be a doubt on Mane, we've got plenty of games for Mane to play. So I've pushed Coutinho forward and brought Milner into midfield. And Wijnaldum didn't play for Holland last night. So he did play against Scotland last Thursday, so you know he won't have played in over a week as well, so he should be raring to go. So as I say, I think Hendo should be fit, and so I have plenty of legs in my midfield.
I think at this point, actually saying that, you know, actually, I know what I'm going to question this, because you've moved Salah to the left.
I have, yeah, and one of the reasons is I'm kind of caught between the kind of formation that we played against West Ham and going back into this 4-3-3. And one of the things that I noticed from the West Ham game and I was really impressed with was the way that Oxlade-Chamberlain performed in that right-hand side role more than anything. And the fact that, you know, you've got Joe Gomez, who's not really bombing on as much as maybe a Trent Alexander-Arnold, but you've also got Alexander Oxlade-Chamberlain, who... When we
Alexander
played...
Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Is that what I said? That's mental. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Esquire.
Go ahead. One of the things that I like, I want to see him in more space, so maybe a little bit of a deeper role, because I think, you know, when it's congested at the top end of the pitch, I think he struggles a little bit, but I think when he's got the ball at his feet, he's got space to run into.
He's great to drive him from the halfway
line.
He's
absolutely brilliant, and I want to see Salah more central as well. So, you know, the way that Firmino was dropping deep and Salah was going on the last man, I want to see a little bit more of that. And I think I alluded to it earlier on, I think that's more of our plan B right now. So I've just kind of mixed it up.
Speaking of mixed it up, what have you got going on at left back there?
That is a
sludge.
I ran out of room. I wrote Joe Gomez too big and the spacing too much, and then that's Moreno. But the E, N and O are essentially on top of each other, kind of like my signature.
I'm noticing a bit of an anti-lover and agenda on these boards.
But no agenda. It just follows the Clavans and Keepers.
I was going to say, my theory is like...
Don't be standing.
Sorry, I just couldn't help but notice.
Dude, I've just said, if it isn't broke, don't fix it, kind of thing.
No, exactly. I completely... And I think again, we've all gone for the same back four and go. I think it picks itself.
No, Lovren's in mine.
Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, I apologise. Yeah. Why?
Because Clavan isn't good enough.
I can tell you
something. I was just looking at it.
Now, there is another, an entirely other debate about Lovren, but he's still a better centre-half than Clavan.
Have a phone call.
Undoubtedly.
I have.
There he is.
That's previous engagement. That's Clavan's agent. Clavan. No, I'm sorry. Look, the Liverpool echo just don't like you. No.
All opinions expressed are personal. But my view is he isn't.
No, I agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. We've been talking about this quite a lot. Clavan, he's not great in the air. He's not dead quick. Or anything. He's not an outstanding centre half, is he?
And he's got mad skills, though.
He's got some mad. Yeah,
you just
skills.
Want to see some more gifts,
some more random turns. But
they light me up inside. But it's brilliant.
I agree with what you're saying on the Lovren thing. In that, look, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster, he's much better in the air. But he's played himself into a situation this season where he's almost got to mistake a game in him. Now, he's going to have to be rehabilitated at some point.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? I suppose because of the rehabilitation and because of the fact that Southampton fans absolutely despise him, it's either a great move to put him in or a terrible move to put him in.
I've could go Clavan either way on that. I agree. I think Lovren's probably a better defender than Clavan. But I think Clavan's better with the ball. And I think these are going to be... I think they are going to park... You mentioned before, I think they are going to park the bus.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking on this. I think the weakness that Clavan has, I'm not sure they haven't got mad
pace and they haven't got ridiculously strong centre-forwards. It's Gabby Adini, who's a very good player, but he's not going to smoke you, you wouldn't think. He's not going to bully you.
If we're bringing out from the back, though, state, it's going to be Matip who's bringing it, isn't it? You're not going to rely on the other centre-half.
To an extent, not even...
They're all good. But again, if the team's sitting deep, think about the first 15 minutes of all those games at Anfield recently when our back four have just had the ball at the feet going...
Yeah.
You know, you're right. I think it's fractional, if I'm honest.
I think Clavan
deserves it just because he's been fine, hasn't he? You know, I think there's something to a bit of stability.
But you
disagree, Andy. Well, it's absolutely fine.
We shall see. But I know from, funnily enough, we was chatting to Rafa Honigstein, who's done the new Klopp book about his book about a week, 10 days ago with Neil Jones. And he was talking about Lovren and how basically Klopp and the two assistants just... Now, this interview was done before this season, so whether this opinion has changed, but... Where everybody else was telling them Lovren problems, everything else, that, you know, he was chatting to them and they basically have a much higher level in their head that Lovren is at than anybody else is seeing now. I think he said those interviews were done for the book round about May time, so we've seen a few things that could have changed their mind since.
Yeah, absolutely.
But essentially, our view, most of us's view of where Lovren's at, Klopp's view is that he's considerably higher.
I think it's to be fair, you know, think about the Spurs game and how the vast majority of Liverpool fans would have bombed out half of that team the next week, and we never. You know, he's still facing it, and Jürgen's talked, he's gone on record as saying...
He did pick Lovren as well. He got injured in the warm-up.
But he's gone on record as saying he sees far more value in rehabilitating players. He's not the kind of guy who stands around on a smartphone when he could be working with people and he could be sorting things out. And so here's the thing, I think there'll be a lot of people who will have instantly seen it, and at the minute Lovren is that name, isn't he? He's the name where you just have to say the name and everyone rolls their eyes and knows exactly what you mean. Jürgen will see that as a challenge to some extent, and he'll not like a bulleadedly, not like he'll throw someone in who's in terrible form and leave them out to dry, but there's no way he's not been working with him.
Well, he
to
needs
try
him.
And get him. Well, exactly, he's a Liverpool player. Yeah. Yeah, you know, he needs.
Well, I think he'll play.
Qualified for the World Cup with Croatia, I think they were until Denmark last night. They've been the most they're about the only team who scored a goal in the playoffs, weren't they? And you know, they had a comfortable passage through against Greece, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's going to be on a bit of a high. Southampton is there's that that whole frisson between him and their fans. But to be honest, I think he is the sort of character where I think as long as he doesn't do what he did with Harry Kane, where he gets too wound up and is like, I'm going to be the man who's going to run 40 yards and win a header against Harry Kane and just messes it all up. If he can actually keep that within
him. When he just defends and plays within himself, yeah, he's a good defender.
I think he'll play. I do think he'll start.
It was a decent opportunity, having had a little bit of a break, as you say, to get him back in. Presumably Clavin's been away.
Estonia's used to
you. Yeah, I haven't checked the Estonian fixtures.
Not totally up on the Estonian football at any level.
What, about 450 times for them?
You'd imagine if they played over short. Let us know.
I think I turn the Estonian notifications off on my phone.
Get them back on. I wonder if was that covered in development watch this week? No idea. We'll have to get Ben to track Estonian football a bit better. I went for Lallana in midfield as a preferred because I just want to see him back in our team. I want to see us how much better we are with him there. And also because I completely forgot Phil Coutinho existed, which is weird.
I love the fact that you give Mane his accent as well, by the way.
Absolutely,
that's really
a commitment to the cause. I can't do it. I can't be asked to do it when I'm typing, but when I'm writing.
I like that you bothered to give him his accent, but you didn't give Clavan his whole name. You thought, I'll save time by missing the AN.
But he didn't want to end up with him.
But isn't your teapot just an indication that as we were talking before in terms of the injuries, the squad now is starting to look... You've left Coutinho out.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
But he did forget about him.
Exactly.
Whether otherwise I've left him out.
But you'd never... If we were in a situation where, oh God, we've got this 11 and this 11 has to go, you'd never have forgotten about him. He'd been like first on your team sheet.
There's a possibility that... I mean, it might not be this week just because of the Mane fitness issue. We could see us doing our Man City, our Man City equivalent of how we play footy. And because at some point, and I'm convinced we're going to see Lallana and Coutinho behind our best front three, and we're going to see what that looks like. This might just because of Mane, we might not see it this time around, but I think it's a possibility.
With your team, your bench could be something like Sturridge, Solanke, Coutinho could all be on your bench. Milner would be on your bench. Oxlade-Chamberlain. So, it shows a bit more. Things are getting better. The issue is it's defence, isn't it? We've got it would be Trent. It would be the defender, and obviously in your case, Lovren. It isn't a horrendous bench anymore compared to what it has been. That's a decent Premier League bench, isn't it? That's an excellent bench. Attacking-wise,
if you've got Daniel Sturridge and Phil Coutinho on the bench...
It's a good bench.
I think Ings is starting to head towards fighting for a place on the bench.
And, it's interesting because obviously he got a few goals the other weekend, Danny Ings, and he's been due them because he's been so unlucky this season with the 23s. It was, in a sense, to me, a challenge to try and get on that bench ahead of Solanke. Then Solanke has a big week with England, doesn't he? He should have scored last night, really, and made an impact when he came on. So, to be honest, there's a lot of players in red on Saturday in a good place, I think.
Yeah, and there's the thing. It's almost like we're going to get to see what the plan was, because we've had to make things work in various areas of the pitch all season long, even just from the right back being the prime example of that. We're going to start to see, I think, some areas settle down and we're going to see us settle into a rotational rhythm, I think. Yeah. So we might see, Lallana might not even figure, but all of a sudden Lallana's playing every midweek game and Oxlade-Chamberlain's playing every weekend game, et cetera, very, very exciting stuff.
This is interesting when you talk about rotation, Bob. If you look at the games that are coming up, because we were having a chat in the office about this the other day, and it is, you want to say, yeah, let's rotate, but actually the games are quite tricky in terms of choosing, when I'm going to bring in my different lads. Southampton at home, that's, first after the international break, everyone's back, you just want to play your strongest team probably. Then you're going Sevilla away, the keeper will change, we'll probably see Trent at right back, but most of the rest, you probably wouldn't make too many changes. And then you've got Chelsea at home, haven't you? Mm. Where again, you're just going, This is my best 11. Yeah. So it's probably when you're going to Stoke and Brighton, those two aways, not necessarily easy aways. We know all about Stoke on a on a Wednesday night or whatever. You know, it's become a cliche, but you would think that might be the perhaps the two games where he'll attempt to start to do things a little bit different.
I think it, I think with our rotation, I don't think it'll be fives and sixes. It'll be one. I think one. You'll see one of them.
Fresh.
One of the front three and one of the midfield. Yeah. I think when everyone's fit, that's what he would like to do. He would like to,
and maybe the Trent and Gomez.
And then right back is what it is. I think that's more dependent on opponents.
Absolutely, but yeah, well, obviously we'll see a little bit in the fullness of time. Let's have some score predictions. Steve, what do you think?
I think we'll win 2-0.
Okay, Andy.
I think Liverpool will win and win well.
I'm going 2-0 as well.
Okay, cool. I'll take it. You know what? Let's go optimistic. Let's have a 3 for Liverpool. Let's finally put these down where they should.
We've got previously doing 3-0, haven't we, at home? So,
and let's hope Virgil van Dijk has a decent enough game that our fans don't all go, "Oh my god, he's terrible," but also not so good that he keeps us.
Do you think he gets clapped off the pitch like Oxlade-Chamberlain did?
That's the way to do it.
Glorious failure is what we're after for him, isn't it? Glorious failure.
Absolutely. Okay, let us know your score predictions in the comments below. Thank you very much for watching the show this week. We have our famous Christmas sweatshirts are available now. You can order them, you can get on them, and you can have a wonderful, very Merry Christmas with them. There'll be a little advert following this, so stay tuned for that. But guys, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. And we'll be back post-match. Look forward to it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.